Good morning.
My name is Finn, Finn John. Welcome to episode 77 of Offbeat Oregon History's audio edition. Today's episode is titled, Pioneer Preacher Was More Than Legislature Bargained For. It's the story of Uncle Joab Powell, who was the most renowned preacher in Oregon at the time of Oregon statehood in 1860, and the legislature decided it could use some divine assistance. It was going to bring him on board to give the first invocation at the first legislative session. And as we'll shortly see, it didn't turn out quite the way the legislators had hoped it would. Today's episode, as I said, is titled Pioneer Preacher Was More Than Legislature Bargained For. I wrote it on June 6th, 2010, and you can find a text version of it or download a copy of this recording at www.offbeatoregon.com. Before I continue, let's get this over with. Yes, this recording is copyrighted, but you have my permission to do almost anything you want with it. Make copies, burn CDs, share it with friends, rip copies on CD and sell them on eBay. I don't care as long as you don't change it to make me appear to say something I didn't say, and as long as the sources part is never deleted. Enough of that. I'll start reading to you now. Pioneer and Baptist circuit rider Uncle Joab Powell was famous for spending hours preaching when the Spirit moved him. So when he took the podium before the first regular post-statehood meeting of the Oregon legislature in 1860, one imagines the representative settling down comfortably for a long discourse. What they got was not a long discourse.
"Father, forgive them!" roared Uncle Joab.
Uncle Joab's voice, by the way, was legendary.
"For they know not what they do."
And he sat back down. Well, in subsequent invocations, Uncle Joab did in fact go on longer, much to the dismay of many of the representatives there. Although Uncle Joab was the most renowned preacher in Oregon at the time, the lawmakers hadn't quite realized quite what sort of preacher he was when they offered him $30 for his services. Uncle Joab was in his 60s, just under 6 feet tall and a good 300 pounds. He was born in the South, in the hills of Tennessee, but was a fierce abolitionist and fought with all his considerable forces for Oregon to be a free state. His place of birth could be deduced by listening to his accent as he preached his sarvices, as he called them. Atop his broad shoulders was a massive head, seeming to have no neck, from which exhortations and imperfectly remembered Bible verses emerged at tremendous volumes. He himself was illiterate, by the way, but his wife read to the family from the Bible every night, and he had a good memory. His eyes were blue and piercing, his hair a bit wild and unkempt. But he had that magic combination of ferocious passion and brotherly love that good Baptist revivalists are known for, and in his travels as a circuit preacher it was remarkably effective. By the time he appeared at the legislature in 1860, he'd baptized at least 3,000 people. Not that you'd know it to look at him. He cared little for his appearance, and when he came before the legislature, he was wearing homespun clothes spun and stitched by his wife, Anna Beeler Powell. Joab and Anna were members of a family of 14 living on their homestead at the forks of the Santiam River, and keeping 14 people in store-bought clothes would have been impossible. When Uncle Joab arrived on that first day, he also smelled a bit farmish. He had been shoveling manure when the messenger from Salem arrived to invite him to come and preach. Soon, the representatives were wishing they had left Powell on his farm with his shovel, and thinking that perhaps they didn't need a preacher after all. When they worked up the courage to tell him so, he was gracious and affable. "Just give me my $30," he told them, "and I'll head for home." This was a problem, because if Uncle Joab had provided the state legislature with its very first plea for divine assistance, he was also the occasion of its very first example of deficit spending. It turned out that the $30 he had been promised for his services was not in the budget. So the legislators came up with a plan for another Oregon political first, the fundraising event. They printed up a stack of flyers advertising a grand entertainment in Salem, with Uncle Joab as the headline act. They hoped to clear, in gate receipts, about $30. But they underestimated Salem's thirst for grand entertainment. Gate receipts came to about $300, and when Uncle Joab took the stage, he faced an enormous crowd. Well, Uncle Joab was a seasoned performer, so there likely wasn't much to worry about. But, probably remembering the 22nd prayer with which the preacher had opened the first legislative session, lawmakers were nervous. If Uncle Joab bombed in front of half the city, it would certainly reflect poorly on them. Luckily, Senator Victor Trevitt had a plan. He armed a group of youngsters with handfuls of the coins they'd taken in at the gate and stationed them in the front row. Whenever Uncle Joab looked like he was sort of winding down, the youths were instructed to shower him with money and yell encouragement. It worked. The event was a huge success, and Uncle Joab bundled off to his farm with his $30 wages and his pockets full of tips. Which was just as well. He likely wouldn't have wanted to be around Salem to see what the lawmakers did with the rest of the $300 fruits of his labors. They set up and stocked an open bar for themselves in one of the committee rooms. Yet another Oregon political first. The end. Let me talk a little bit about my sources for this column. The first source is a book by M. Leona Nichols titled Joab Powell, Homespun Missionary. It was published by Metropolitan Press out of Portland, Oregon in 1935. This book's in the public domain, so you can get a complete PDF copy of it from Google Books and read it at your leisure on your Kindle or iPad or whatever you like to use. The second source is by Bill Gulick. It's titled Roadside History of Oregon, published by Mountain Press out of Missoula, Montana in 1991. This is an excellent book, by the way. You really should have it if you're interested in Oregon history. It's easy to read, it's very thorough, and it's 100% dependable. The third book is a book by Wynn McCormick et Alternatum titled Great Moments in Oregon History. It's published by New Oregon Publishers in Portland, Oregon in 1987. What this actually is a collection of articles from Oregon Magazine that were published in the late 70s to mid-1980s. New Oregon is their publishing imprint for books. And that's all I've got for you. Thanks for listening. I do hope you'll visit this audio edition's homepage on my website, www.offbeatoregon.com. Go to the table of contents and click episode 77. It'll take you to the homepage. There are other resources, neat things to see and learn on the printed edition that I can't really include in the audio version. And as always, please drop me a note anytime at finn@offbeatoregon.com. That's Finn with two N's. This has been episode 77 of Offbeat Oregon History's audio edition. Thanks for listening. Good night.